minister to us.
Hallelujah.
And we do want to encourage you on those Wednesday nights. Please, this is the last one, and they've been going very well. We do have food there afterwards, good time of fellowship. But the teaching itself has been very, very good. I enjoy, as a pastor, sitting back and hearing these men and women share. I mean, I get blessed. I really do. So please make it out and get blessed also. So, Father, we lift up Pastor John to you right now. And, Father, as we continue on looking at what the Holy Spirit does in each one of our lives, we pray for the Spirit of God now to move mightily upon him. We lift him up and we ask, Holy Spirit, that you move sovereignly in our midst today. Lord, not only upon Pastor John, but through him and through us. Father, strengthen us, encourage us, motivate us to go out and continue to spread the good news. Father, we give you praise and we thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. How many of us have ever been in a place where we knew something was wrong? We knew we shouldn't get involved in it. We knew we shouldn't do it. We didn't want to do it at all. And yet, we found ourselves giving in to temptation and did it. Have you ever been there? It drives you crazy, doesn't it? In our saner moments, you know, we sort of want to kick ourselves on the rear end and we get upset because we keep falling into the same traps again and again. And it's almost like we're bent on self-destructing. And you know what? Every time we find ourselves being in the flesh, and if we give in to our carnal nature, we actually are in a self-destruct mode. And we shouldn't be surprised, because the evil that we are capable of, I mean, it's in all of us. It's something that happens. And fortunately for us, God understands our weaknesses as humans, our frailties. He knows that every inclination of the heart is towards evil. That's what it says in the Word. The Apostle Paul, I'm sure we all know him, and he himself went through this very kind of thing. And he explains it in Romans chapter 7, verse 15. We're going to go there and read all the way into Romans 8. And he explains how this happens and how we can deal with it. Starting in Romans 7:15, it says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, then I agree that the law is good. He says, you know the law is good because we know we don't want to do that. So the law has taught us it's not good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is why in my sinful nature, that is in my sinful nature. Good does not dwell in our sinful nature. That's not part of our flesh's makeup. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. You ever felt like that? For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me that does it. It's this sin that convinces me, propels me, pushes me, pulls me, draws me. So I find this law at work. Now he's explaining what's happening. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me, my flesh. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? And he says, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law. But in my sinful nature, I'm still a slave to the law of sin. Therefore, remember why it's all that, why was all that there? Why did he explain all that? What's it there for? Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, what we've been talking about, the Holy Spirit, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sinful offering. And so He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. There's a lot here. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit, which is what we've been trying to get, we're trying to get to that place, being led by the Spirit. Those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, Christians, so since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. We have to recognize, as Paul is explaining here fully, that our job is to reject the power, the pull, the drawing, the tempting of the flesh, the carnal nature, the sinful nature, and instead to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. There's going to be two choices out there. And the one is going to want to lead us towards sin that we know we don't want to do, and then there's the Holy Spirit who's leading us. Now, in the moment, the flesh is going to actually seem stronger. But the reality, it's going to seem stronger. But the reality is, remember, He who is in you is stronger than he who is in the world. We just have to, we have to push our flesh away. We have to willingly say, no. No, I'm not going that way. I'm following the Spirit. The wonderful, transforming Spirit of God. This is when we begin to see the fruit that this relationship with the Holy Spirit will start to develop, growing and maturing in us. And this fruit is the character of Christ. And it's actually being cultivated in us and as we are growing and being transformed into His image. And Galatians 5:22 calls it the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what we've been talking about. And last week we saw that kindness was love in action. Actually, the last 2 weeks. That it was God's love reaching out with kindness. That's what this love in action, that's what kindness is all about. Today we're going to be looking at a fruit called goodness. Goodness is also related to love. Remember, all those things Paul was saying, the very good I want to do, I find myself. That's why I read all that. Well, it explains the whole thing of following the Spirit, but he also starts out talking about, I want to do good. I know good is good. It's the right thing. I want to do good, but the flesh wants to take me away from good, and the Spirit wants to help me do good. So goodness, we need to know, is related to love. It's sort of like the character of love. The word goodness has to do with moral excellence, with moral perfection, with being virtuous, taking all the different virtues that are out there, every virtue that there is, and they're all found in God. They're all found in the character of God and in His goodness. And true goodness is every one of these virtues brought to the epitome, the moral perfection, and to the maximum point of excellence and perfection. That's the goodness of God. So true goodness, obviously then, can only originate in one place, and that's with God. Because only in God are we going to find perfect goodness. It's the only place. In Exodus 33:18, when Moses said, "God, show me your glory. Now show me your glory." The Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. And I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence." If you remember that story, remember he put him in the rock and he said, "I'll pass by you." He was showing him his character. He was showing him who he was. Moses wanted to meet him and see him. And he said, "I'll show you my goodness. Because I'm good." James 1:7 tells us every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. No good gift comes to us unless it's from God. And nothing comes to us from God unless it's good. God does not give us evil. He gives us good. Sometimes we may not like it, but it's still good. All that is good in this vast universe, everything that's good in the whole wide universe, everything that's good on this earth, everything that's good in you and me has come from our Father in heaven. Because God is good. Remember, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. It's true. God is the Creator. His thoughts are above our thoughts. His ways are above our ways. And it's God Himself who has determined what good is. Because He's the one who is good. It's us who needs to understand. We got to get an understanding and understand God so that we can know what good really is. We have to know that God's purposes are good. That His plans are good. That His will is good. It's pleasing and perfect. Remember His good, pleasing, and perfect will. It's in Romans 12:2. It says, it's talking to us and it's saying, or to all Christians, and it's saying, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." God, His will, it's perfect, it says, it's pleasing, and it's good. Everything He's doing is good. So many people try to, there's people in this world, they don't understand God. And they think God is a bad God. They think God is a mean God. They think God is a spiteful God. They think God is an angry God. They think all these different things about God, but we know that God is love. God, His kindness is loving us in action, and that everything about this love and this kindness emanates also from this goodness that's in Him. There's this overwhelming goodness that is poured out through His love. The world doesn't understand what good is, and in fact, we know for a fact that oftentimes people in this world call something good that is evil, and something evil they call it good. Don't we see this? We see it in politics all the time. People calling something that is pure evil, saying it's a good thing. There are churches out there that say that abortion is good. There are churches out there that say euthanasia, killing people, is good. There are churches out there who say homosexual marriage is good. There are churches out there who say all kinds of things that are against the Word of God because they've been corrupted by the world. And so they call what is evil good, and then they call what is good somebody who's trying to tell them the right thing. You're evil. They try to cut them down when they stand up for God's values. Sometimes you'll find you'll stand up for God's values, for His truth, and people will be mad at you. They'll try to cut you down. Remember what Jesus said, though, blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake, for they'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. Romans 12:2 tells us that our minds need to be transformed so that we can see, so that we'll be able to see that God's will is good. Remember, it says here, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. So our mind has to be transformed. We have to begin to understand who God is. We need to understand His Word before we can tell what good is. Everybody has their opinion in this world about what's good. But only God is good, and only what He says is good is good. So we have to learn from His Word what is really good. If God were not good, we would be living in a cruel joke. It would be the biggest scam of all time. What if we lived under an evil God, an evil king? And if He was evil, honestly, I wouldn't care. I wouldn't want Him to be all-powerful or super intelligent or know all things if He was evil. If He was evil, then all that would do, it would put us in a constant state of fear and anxiety and insecurity, never knowing what this evil king might do next. Wouldn't it be awful if God was this terrible, mean, evil trickster and just, you know, always looking to get you and stuff like that, and He was God? All powerful? You never know. A lightning bolt come down and kill you, right? You're trying to eat a hot dog at a barbecue, bam, I'll fry you. You know, I mean, who knows, you know, what He might do. The more awesome He was, the more terrified we would be. But see, that's how the world thinks, that God is not good. They think He is evil. We need to know that He's good. I remember that feeling of being like under an evil king. That was before I was saved, and because I was under the ruler of this world, the wrong Lord, the wrong King. And it wasn't just the world, it wasn't just the devil, it was the whole world system that's out there. There's so much evil wrapped up in the corporate world system. And you know what? It's the same thing when we let our sinful nature run the show. Because what we're doing, it's like being ruled by an evil king. Our flesh is an evil king. Think about it. If we allow our flesh full reign, and we allow our flesh to just totally go into all the fleshly appetites and the lusts and the perversions, we would be destroyed. The king would destroy its own body, our flesh. The king of the flesh would destroy us. But praise God, He is not evil. He is good. God is good. And everything we know about Him proves His goodness. Everything we read in the Word, everything we learn as we grow closer to Him, everything we know by the Spirit, proves to us that He's a good God. beyond any shadow of a doubt. And the greatest proof of all, the greatest proof of all was the fact that through God's goodness, because of His goodness, because of His love, He sent His Son Jesus. A good God sent His good Son to rescue us, even though it would cost Him His life. A true friend. It was Jesus who came to proclaim, you know what? The good news, right? The good news of the kingdom. That's what He came for, to spread, to share the good news. You see, a good God has good fruit coming out of Him. Every thought and intention of His heart that comes out of Him is good. And now this good God has insight for us. He has something to share with us. He has something He calls the good news, the gospel, that tells us about a very good thing called salvation. And it was Jesus who said, anyone who has seen Me has seen the Father. Hebrews 1:3 tells us that the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being. Everything that Jesus did while He was here on this earth was a demonstration of the goodness of God, of the goodness of the Father. When you see Me, you see the Father. I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. I'm an exact representation of His being. And because everything that Jesus did when He was on this earth was good. No one could ever point to anything that He ever did that was bad. Acts 10:38 tells us how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how He went around doing something. Know what it was? Doing good. And healing all who were sick, and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with Him. See, that goodness gives us strength. That goodness gives us a way to inject into situations and point out evil and bring in good. Because God wants us to take what is evil and overcome it with good. Jesus came displaying the goodness of God wherever He went and whatever He did. Because it is God's nature to be good. It's God's nature to let His goodness just flow out of Him like sunshine. Just like the sun shines on everyone, God's goodness is available to all people. Matthew 5:45 says that He causes His Son to rise on the evil and the good. And He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Remember, Christ died for us when we were still sinners. Even though we were not good, we were evil, we were at war with God, and yet Jesus came to bring that good to us, even when we were evil. So that goodness is out there. It's out there shining just like the sun. God's goodness doesn't pour out of Him because we're good. His goodness pours out of Him because He is good. See, we think if we're good, then God's goodness will pour onto us. But His goodness is available, but it's not because, it doesn't come because we're good. We don't create goodness out of God. God's goodness comes because He is good. It's just His way. So here's a question we might ask. If God's goodness is extended to everyone, then why should we worry about those who are not walking in His will? Why should they worry? Why should we worry when we decide not to follow after God? Well, it's just like salvation. Salvation is a free gift from God. It's offered to everyone. And those who accept this offer of salvation and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, then they get the blessing. They get the benefit of that offering, that offer of salvation. Those who don't receive that offer, those who don't ask Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior, they don't get eternal life. In fact, in the end, they will suffer God's wrath. That's the way it is. That's the reality. We have to remember that we talked about in the beginning, we talked about how goodness demands excellence, perfection, the epitome of whatever virtue there is. Goodness. Goodness means moral excellence. It means, you know, moral perfection, this virtue and all that. And it's not only excellence in the nice things that we would consider nice. It's not only moral perfection and this full realm of mercy, but there's also has to be this excellence in justice. Because if God was not a just God, he would be a false God. So there is justice. And justice demands payment. The justice demands consequences. That's why in salvation, the offer of salvation, anybody who wants it has it. It's there for us. All we have to do is receive and believe and follow after Jesus Christ. But Jesus said there is no other way. He says we must be born again over and over. There's so many different things in there. Not only is it free, not only come here and die for us so that we could have it, but then he tells us there's no other way. It says that he's not slow in keeping his promise. Some people say, man, how come you're not dealing with them? How come you're not judging? How come you're not, you know, doing all this? And he says, no, I'm not slow in keeping my promise, but I'm giving him the maximum time, my maximum mercy, my maximum, you know, loving kindness is giving them all the time I can possibly give them so they will accept me and receive salvation. But when they don't, regretfully, just like when Jesus was up on the hill over Jerusalem looking down, crying over Jerusalem, I longed to gather you together under my wings like a mother hen. But when they rejected him, he knew that justice would demand the wrath of God. You know how that breaks God's heart? But because he is excellent in every way, he also has to be excellent in justice. And that's part of his goodness. We may not like it all the time, but that's the way it is. The same goodness that forgave the adulteress, that told her to go and sin no more, the same goodness that forgave the thief on the cross was the same goodness that threw the money changers out of the temple. The same goodness that called the Pharisees a vile brood of snakes and a whitewashed tomb. Romans 2, 6 through 11 says, God will repay each person according to what they've done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek, and who seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. What we need to remember is that when we choose to walk in God's will, when we love God, when we obey God, and when we follow after Him, when we're led by His Holy Spirit, then God's goodness is going to be poured out. It's going to be poured out into our lives because we are in the path of that the goodness being poured out, just like the sun shining down. If we go inside, the rays of the sun don't hit us. We go under a tree. We leave the path. When we're walking in God's will, it's like that goodness will be poured out on us. And it's not only for eternity. His goodness, we can receive His goodness today and every day. For those who reject God, His goodness may not seem like a blessing at all. In fact, it may seem like a curse. But for those who love Him, for us who love Him, and walk in His purpose, we'll recognize His goodness as a great blessing. Romans 8:28, I'm sure we all know this one. And we know that in all things God works for the what? The good. Because His goodness, He's always working the good out. That's what He's always trying to bring out, the good. That God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. The purposes of God are always good. Always. His intentions towards you are always good. Always. Imagine this source of this loving kindness, and it's filtered by the best filter, the highest standard of excellence and perfection. Nothing but the best. Just pure, pure goodness coming to you. Just like if you were trying to get the purest water you could ever drink. You had the best filtration system that you could get. I'm only drinking pure water. Well, there's a way to get pure goodness too, and it comes from God. He's the source. He's good. And His goodness endures forever. He's good. And He wants to bless you with His goodness. If you are weary, then His goodness, in His goodness, He wants to give you rest. If you are anxious, in His goodness, He wants to give you peace. He always has something good for you. If you're lonely, in His goodness, He wants to be your friend. He wants to comfort you, set you in a family. He wants to be there for you, tell you He'll never leave you or forsake you. If you are weak, He wants to make you strong. He wants to strengthen your inner being. He wants to lift you up and gird you up. If you are fearful, He wants you to know that nothing can harm you. He wants you to know that He's not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. If you are discouraged, He wants to encourage you. His goodness wants to encourage you today, right now. He's such a good God, and He says He just loves us so, so much. Whatever you need, wherever you are, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're going through, our good God wants to supply that need. He wants to meet that need. He wants to be that goodness for you, that very good thing that you need. It may not always be what we want. It might be sometimes a little bit of a hard word. Just like a good parent. Remember it says a good father gives good gifts to his children as best as he can. But God's a much better father than we could ever be. And He knows how to give the absolute best. Only the best. The good. The goodest. He gives the goodest that He could possibly give, right? I know there's no such word, but we can trust Him. We can trust Him completely. We never have to worry about what God will do to us. We never have to worry about giving ourselves over to God. Some people might say, oh, you better not say that. You don't know what God's going to do if you ask for that. Well, you know what? You can ask for whatever you want for God because God is good. And you don't have to worry. Yeah, there might be something a little tough come your way, but if it's good for you, so what? Sometimes we have to take medicine that tastes terrible. Sometimes we have to take pills that are like horse pills. Sometimes we had to endure discipline for a while. Another thing that it says in the Word. But God disciplines us for what? For our good. Everything He does is always for our good. Because He's a good God. He's a good God. God's goodness is never, ever ending. It just keeps flowing. It just keeps coming. We just got to get on the receiving end. We have to line up ourselves with Him and just open ourselves up. You know, some people like to go lay out in the sun. Unfortunately, I can't do that. I fry. Some people like to lay out in the sun. You know, it does feel good. I mean, sometimes I'll go out there for like 2 minutes and say, yeah, oh, this feels really nice. I got to run now. But I don't have to run from God's goodness, though. I'll lay in that all day long. As long as He's pouring out that goodness, give it to me. If I could have the prayer team come forward. We're going to end today. We're going to come back next week and we're going to talk about how we can walk in goodness ourselves. Today we saw God's goodness. Next week we're going to look at how we can walk in goodness and how we can even share that goodness with others. 2 weeks. Yes, 2 weeks. Keith will be here next week. There's a scripture in Romans 16:19. It says, I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. I love that scripture. I think that's just a cool scripture. Get wise. In other words, learn. Learn what it means to be good. Don't worry about evil. Just be innocent of evil. Don't have anything to do with evil. So that when someone, I don't know, that wasn't me. I wasn't there. I wasn't a part of that. That wasn't me doing that. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good, right? That's the word. Hate, hate, hate. Hateful. What hateful speech, right? Hate what is evil. That's one thing we can hate all we want. We can hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Hold on to it. Cling. You know what that means? That means hold on to it as if your life depended on it. Because it does. Cling to what is good. Grasp it. Run after it. Get hold of it. Take it in. Love it. Learn it. Hallelujah. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You that You are a good, good God. That You are good all the time. That every good thing comes from You. That Your goodness and Your mercy never stops. Lord, we thank You. We thank You so much that we are recipients of that goodness. That we're able to enjoy the good that You're working out in our lives as we love You and walk according to Your purpose and plans. Lord, we thank You that we can learn about Your goodness, that we can be wise about Your goodness, that You explain what it is to be good and how good You are right in Your Word. We thank You. We thank You, God, that You are a good God, that You sent Your Son to die for us, that He did such a good work on the cross. We thank You, God. Lord, fill us with Your goodness. Pour Your goodness out here today. Lord, help us to be recipients. Help every one of us to open ourselves up to You, to be led by Your Spirit, so that Your goodness can fill us up to overflowing. To be led by Your Spirit, so Your goodness can then not only come into us, but go out from us, that we can see the fruit of goodness in our lives. Lord, we thank You. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit. We thank You for this fruit of goodness that You've given us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. Whisper of love in the dead of night, and You tell me
good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, and I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Because you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. Oh, you're perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Oh, it's love so undeniable. I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable. I can hardly think as you call me deeper still.